Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30. And God has a word. He's come from this particular text before with us. And I just trust God, oh my God, the sensitivity that we need to go into in order to possess what God has. Let me just say this before I get into the word of God. When God is ready to bless you, that's the time when you really have to be the most sensitive, because the devil can only kill, steal, and destroy, which means he has limited resources. Amen. Which means he can't make any more demons to come at you, which means the only time he really comes at you is when you're about to go through the threshold of your blessing. And so many people stop right at the brink of a breakthrough, because that's when all holy hallelujah gonna come at you, because when you're right there, that's when the devil attacks you the most. When you're at the cusp of your breakthrough. When you're at the toenail of the feet of God ready for your blessing. Some of us turn around and give up, but keep on pressing. Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 30, read. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Lord, please bring a word like only you can, a fresh revelation from on high. Give us this day the manna, our daily bread, so that we may be able to eat and digest what it is you have to say to us in order for us to go to the next level in the dimension that you want us to go to. We thank you, God, for blessing us even when we don't deserve it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As you take your seat, I want to speak to you from the subject of kingdom-minded soldiers. Kingdom-minded soldiers. You know, we always say we soldiers in the army, but it's amazing how they say we soldier in the army, but sometimes the hardest headed folk you gonna meet is church folk. But we soldiers. But anyway, when we think of repentance, we usually think of baptism. The word baptism comes from the Greek word baptismo, which means immersion, or totally to immerse something. The literal meaning of repentance derives from the Greek word metaneo, which means to think or rethink again. John the Baptist came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, which means he was saying immerse your entire way of thinking and rethink, for the kingdom of God is at hand. John was preaching that Jesus was coming to bring a new power to those who accepted him. Jesus was coming to bring the power of the kingdom to the Christian body. The Bible states that Jesus came to give us life and to give him more abundantly. He died on the cross with all power in his hands. But when he rose again, he released that power to the believers. This is why Jesus said that you would do greater exploits in my name. He said, whatever I did, you ought to be able to do better. He gave us the comforter, the paraclete, the advocate, the helper in the form of the Holy Ghost. That's why the Bible said that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Not some things, not most things, not several things, not a lot of things, but all things through Christ who strengthens us. And you know what the good thing, Brother Fairfax, is that Jesus didn't say he was going to do it for us. So he ain't going to run your campaign for you. You got to run your own campaign. He said, I will do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you can ask to go imagine according to the power that work in you, which means you have to do something. You know why so many church folk not blessed? They sitting at home on the by and by waiting on Jesus to do something. When Jesus said, you will do greater exploits in my name. He said, I'm going to give you my name. I'm going to lend you my name.
but I'm not going to do it in my name. You're going to do it. I gave you the power to obtain wealth. I gave you the power to walk on demons. I gave you the power to tread serpents. I gave you the power.
See, the church wonders why there's so much violence even committed by those in the church. It's because we don't walk in the kingdom power that Jesus has released to us. The Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 2, it reads in chapter 2, verse 6 to 9, It is not to angel that he has subjected this world to come to. It says, the angel says in this text, he said, what is man that you're mindful of him, that you made everything to be subject under their feet, yet they don't walk in that power. What they're saying is, God, you gave man all this free will. You gave man all this power. You gave woman all this power, yet they don't walk in the authority you gave them. Angels are saying, we don't have the power to have free will. We don't have the power to do anything except for what you ask us to do. You gave them free will. You made everything to be subject under their feet. Disease is supposed to obey them. Neighborhood is supposed to obey them. Republicans and Democrats supposed to bow down to them. Yet they don't walk in the authority you gave them. Give us the power. Angels and Hebrews are jealous of man because of the power God gave them. And yet we don't walk in it, and wondering why people have died, and wondering why people have fallen on the wayside. Even all these churches on all these different blocks, all these people still getting murdered. Why? Because the church is not walking in the power God has ordained the church to walk in. Oh, y'all don't understand what I'm saying. It's strange to some people that we go out and do basketball tournaments. It's strange to some people that the pastor is a volunteer chaplain. It's strange to some people that we don't just stay in the church wall, but God didn't call us to stay in the church walls. He called us to go out into the territory of the devil and take it back. What the devil? I'm tired of these young kids dying because the church want to sit back and have a patty cake party and try to see who got the biggest hat on, or who got the highest heel, or who got the best tie on, coming around here walking around to have a fashion show. I'm tired of the church not walking in the authority God has given it. Too many kids are dying. For us to be playing church, every time a decision comes and people don't agree with it, everybody want to come bring their pity-pat party to a church conference, or bring all their opinions when God don't care even about my own opinion. Have you prayed about what it is you're bringing me? Have you really sought the face of God? Or did you sit in your kitchen and cook up your own opinionated? Jesus, in this parables, is in a series of parables, speaking on the kingdom of God. Look, in verse 11 and 19, he mentions the kingdom. Verse 24, it says a parable. In verse 31 and another 33, in verse 44 and 45 and 47, apparently the kingdom is important. He's talking about the kingdom in all these different times because Jesus came to establish a kingdom. He came in the power of the kingdom. Look, let me just read this right quick. Luke 17, 20 and 21 says, Jesus says, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither will they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. The kingdom of God is an attitude. It's the way you act. It's where you, it's the perspective that you have on life. See, when you have the enemy coming at you, you don't have to worry about the enemy coming at you. You need to have the right perspective and understand that I am more than a conqueror. I am an overcomer. I can do whatever. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, you got to get the right perspective. When the devil comes at you, you got to let the devil know, I'm a kingdom kid. I'm a kingdom soldier. And the only reason you coming against me is for scripture to be fulfilled. You coming against me so I can be more than a conqueror. You coming against me so you can be my stepping stool and not my stumbling block. You coming against me so God can show you that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. You coming against me so God can show you and everybody around me that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You know the problem with church folk, Sister Marcia, the problem with church folk is this. Church folk think that they supposed to have a great old day, zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay, oh my, why, what a wonderful day. They think that everything is going to be peaches and cream. They don't think that they're going to have some lion, tigers, and bears. Oh my. God didn't ever promise you that you wouldn't have weapons formed against you. What he did promise you is that they would not prosper.
He didn't say they was going to lie on you. He didn't say that they weren't going to talk about you. He didn't say a scandal wasn't going to ever hit your name. He didn't say folk was going to always, wasn't going to stab you in your back. But what he did say, when it happens, baby, you going to be all right. You immune. I inoculated you with my blood. And can't nothing stop you. Can't nothing keep you back from the promise I gave you. You're a kingdom kid. You're tired of church folk, find some kingdom folk. Church folk are stabbing your back. Kingdom folk are staying with you. Yeah, yeah. Now, I know he said I'd be on my church, but he said I came to give you the kingdom. It's not a place. It's not a building. It's not a pew. It's not an address. It's not a stained glass window. It's not what you eat or what you drink. It's the power that God. And in fact, Romans 14 and 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's even when you in the place and the enemy comes at you like a flood, you know everything is all right. Even when the world is coming against you and nobody seems to be on your team, when you a kingdom kid, you don't worry about it, because you understand that greater is he who was in me than he who was in the world. The word kingdom comes from the Greek word basileus, which means the rule, the realm, or the royalty of God. In other words, this is the way God will rule on the earth. Do you understand that God rules through you? See, I know you thought God was going to do it. I know you thought God was going to do it, but God not going to do it. God said you would do greater exploits in my name. It's not up to him to do it. It's for you to do it. You are the vessel. You are the conduit. You are the vessel that God will use to change the face of the earth. And a lot of us are keep waiting on God to do something when God really is waiting on you. God is waiting on you. God is waiting on us to step to the plate and be the church that we're supposed to do. Are you ready to step up and do it? Are you ready? I know it get quiet when you start telling folk they got to go to work. That's how they are at the community center. When we plan it, everybody be happy. The day of, everybody start going on vacation. Because nobody want to work. But God has called us to be workers. But let me get into this right quick. You know what I love about this parable, Brother Briggs, is that Jesus don't worry about me interpreting it. He give me the answer. If you read in verse 37 and through 43 in the same chapter, chapter 13 of Matthew, it says, he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out his kingdom, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall it be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Look, God is writing a parable to get the church in order so he can judge the world. See, people keep talking about God coming tomorrow and God, you know why? Remember when 2000 was coming and everybody was going to buy these generators because the world was going to end and buy all this water? First of all, what you going to do if the world ends? What you need a generator for? The world going to be over. Save your money. I don't understand. But anyway, they went to buy all these generators because they thought it was going to end. But let me tell you something. If God comes right now, it'll be like he throwing in the towel. Why? Because the church is not doing what the church is supposed to do. The church is supposed to be walking in power, taking over territory from the devil. That God is not coming back until the church is winning. He's coming back for a perfect church. He's come back for a church that's walking in healing. He's come back with a church that's stepping on demons. He's come back for a church that is not in debt. He's come back for a church that teaches people how to be prosperous. He's coming to a church that's raising folk from the dead. He's coming for a church that has power. If God comes right now, it'll be like he giving up. He said, I'm going to come when my church is in order. But it's hard for us to judge him to judge the world, because sometimes the church looks just like the world. I'm not saying because you do different things to bring folk into the church. I'm saying your beliefs and what we do. We don't want to say nothing about certain things. We don't want to say nothing about homosexuality because we don't want nobody to feel bad. We don't want to talk about fornication because we don't want nobody to feel bad. We don't talk about lying and cheating because we don't want nobody to feel bad. We always trying to be politically correct. But what good is salt if it loses its saltiness? Every now and then, somebody ought to be salty at you. Somebody ought to be mad at you, because when you walk in the room, you're not judging them, but they judging themselves because you look different, you act different, you talk different, you live different. When you walk in the room, every now and then somebody ought to be offended because you in the room.
Oh, God isn't coming for church folk. He's coming for kingdom folk. First of all, the field is the world. You saw that in the text, right? Some of y'all think the field the church. And that's why you argue with your parishioners so much. This ain't the field. No. You know where we are? You in the locker room. Huh? I'm giving you a pep talk. I'm your coach to get you ready to go out into the world and take territory from the devil. This ain't the game. I don't want to make Allen Iverson mad, but this practice. This practice, this locker room talk to get you ready to go out into the world and take territory from the devil. The field is the world. We are supposed to be in the world. All right, look, first of all, in order to understand this text, Sister Mary, I got to break down the word world. The word world comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means the order or the arrangement of things, or where you get the word cosmetology from, which is where we get makeup from. You know how sometimes, you know, the lady look real good, but she rub on her face and she look different. Sorry, just the example I thought about. But I ain't talking about nobody in here. I hope, anyway. But you know, because makeup is what it makes it look like. See, the little g god of this world is the devil. See, y'all got to understand your words, because you're thinking I'm a heretic right now. God said the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. God said he want the silver and the gold. He don't want the money. 9/11 hit the trade towers. Money acted funny. You see, money can change. Again, we can be, a dollar can be worth this one day and worth something else another day. That's where you get the Wizard of Oz from, Emerald City. They were trying to say, why are we getting away from gold and silver and getting into money? It's a fake city. And that's what he's saying. He's saying the world, the little g god of this world, the order or the arrangement of things is the devil. The only thing the devil can do is set up props in your life that look real. Huh? See, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. See, your cancer, it really ain't real. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. It sound crazy right now. See, that debt, it really ain't real. It's a circumstance that the devil set up in your life to throw you off your faith journey. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. When you go to the Cosby Show, you can't really live in the Huxtable house. It's a prop. It's fake. It's a part of the world system. And what the God is saying in this text is the little g god of this world is the devil, and the only thing he can do is change the order or the arrangement in your life and make you look like you're going to be defeated. That's why God said heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall always. See, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Some of you all keep standing on your own little opinions, and some of y'all keep standing on what your doctors say, and some of y'all keep standing on what your lawyers say, and some of y'all keep standing on what your teachers say. But at the end of the day, nobody's opinion means anything but the word of God. God said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. It shall always be here. That's why if you say the word of God, when you find your situation in your life and you find yourself sick, you got to say, by his stripes, I'm healed, and God wisdom of all things, that'll be prosperous and good health. And when your enemy comes at you, you got to say, even though the enemy comes at me like a flood, my God shall always be there, and the waves shall not overtake me. And even if I walk through the fire, I shall not be burned. When somebody begins to have a gossip, a scandal about your name, you got to say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You got to begin to know how to put the word on your situation and stop letting the world dictate what you are. I hate when people say, I hate when they say, oh, I'm doing well despite the circumstances. What you under the circumstances for? For last I read, you more than a conqueror.
If you're more than a conqueror, what you are under the circumstances, get your butt from up under them circumstances and walk in your kingdom power that you're supposed to walk in. You're supposed to be treading on demons and walking on serpents. Why? Get your crazy self. If you're a real Christian, get yourself up from up under the circumstances. You better walk in the power and the glory and the anointing that God has given you. He said he made you fearfully and wonderfully. He gave you a sound mind and not a timid spirit, but a bold one. Stop being scared. Oh, what y'all need to understand is the devil don't mess with anybody unless you're valuable. The devil ain't gonna mess with you when you're not doing anything. See, some of y'all wonder why the devil ain't messing with you because you're on the devil's team. But when you really cross over and come into the kingdom of God, every now and then he gonna jump at you. But you understand they would put 2 and 3 people to check Michael Jordan because they were scared of Michael Jordan. You gotta understand demons are scared of you. When you're really about to do what God has called you to do, he'll put 2 and 3 demons around you to check you, to make sure, oh, don't you be no black man running for lieutenant governor. He gonna put a whole bunch of demons around you to try to make you get discouraged because ain't no black man supposed to be that high up in the Commonwealth of Virginia. You better watch out, somebody. I'm just trying to talk to somebody, because the problem with church folk is we don't walk by faith. We keep walking by sight. Stop looking at them temporal things and stand on the word of God. I'm tired of the church not taking over authority. I'm tired of the church folk being more sick than the folk in the world. I wouldn't come to church either if I worked 6 days a week and the only day I could stay in the house was on Sunday, and I go see a church and all they do is whine and complain, talking about how they sick and don't walk in power. I wouldn't want to go to church either. In fact, if I preach at a broke down church, I resign day and go be a principal again. I'm not trying to walk nowhere where it ain't no power. I know you know how to exegete. I know you know homiletics. I know you know hermeneutics. I know you know Bonhoeffer and Tillich. But do you know the power of Jesus? Degrees don't mean a thing if you don't have any power. I'd rather have power. My doctorate degree don't mean nothing. It means something to y'all because you're proud that your pastor got a doctorate degree or real one and really went to school for it. But at the end of the day, it really don't mean anything to God. He said, study to show yourself approved, but not to show yourself approved to him, to show yourself approved to men and women so they can respect the power that God has already put in you. Truth be told, you ain't got to go to school to do nothing God has gifted you for. He told Jeremiah, before you was in your mother's womb, I knew you. I already called you to be a preacher. Already called you to be a lawyer. Already called you to be a doctor. Already called you to be a governor. Already called you to be a teacher. I called you and made you in your mother's womb. Before you was born, I knew what I made you to be. Can't nobody tell you what you're supposed to do. I'm careful when people tell me they called, and I may not see it right then. I don't ever say you're not called. I might say you might not be called here. That really wasn't supposed to be funny, but I see where the sarcasm could be. But I'm serious. I don't never say you're not called. You may not be called to serve under me. But I never say who and who God didn't call. That's why the Bible said, let the tares grow up with the wheat. Don't you take away them tares. You know, if you would have saw me at Georgia Southern, ain't no way I would have had an interview at this church. No way. No way. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. I'm just reminiscing now. Thank you for the blood. You know what I'm saying? But I would have been a tear. And if somebody would have uprooted me out of the church, God would never be able to use me the way he used me today. See, do you know what's wrong with church folk? We try to judge folk like we didn't get snatched out of darkness into the marvelous light. Her little short skirt on. Mm-hmm. Well, sister girl, if you could wear it, you would too. Thank God he saved you by way of cellulite so that you can help get her in line. God will save you the way he need to. But seriously, we need to stop judging folk. Because he said, let the wheat, let the tares grow with the wheat. Let me judge who ain't supposed to be there. Because sometimes the worst tare may wipe 3/4 of the New Testament. Sometimes the tare that denied him would be one of the greatest apostles. Sometimes the tare that does different things. What amazes me is we can accept Moses even though he killed people. We can accept Abraham although he lied about his wife because she was so fine. We accept Samson when he couldn't leave Delilah alone. We accept David when he couldn't leave nobody alone. In fact, if you know David, go home if your wife ain't here. That's how crazy he was. But we don't see when people make mistakes, how God can use the modern day prophets and preachers and teachers of today. If we really read the word of God, not saying we should live any old way, but a lot of times we mess up the church because the minute somebody mess up, you want to put them out as if you the judge. As if you got a seat at the left hand of God and Jesus on the right. You understand? The wheat grew up with the tares. He said, don't touch them. Don't touch them. Let them grow up together. But the amazing thing is this. All this stuff happened while men slept. Ooh. See, now, have you sitting beside your wife or your husband? Just look at me. Have you had a dream? And you told your wife or your husband about the dream, and it was another woman or a man in it. They got mad at you because they felt like you shouldn't have dreamed about that person. So if you dream about them, just don't tell them. But truth be told, you can't control your thoughts in your sleep. While men sleep, that's when the enemy sow the tares. And the reason why I say don't get rid of the tares with the wheat, because really the tares have to be a part of the church because the tares were sown in the wheat. And sometimes people get mad because church folk raise the biggest hell, but you can't put them out of the church because there just might be a tare that the devil has sown. And maybe God will deliver them and bring them on the right path and understand that they need to get in right standing with God and understand that their opinion don't mean everything, but it's only the word of God that should stand. But we try to put them out of the church. Anytime we don't agree with folk, put them out. But it said let the wheat grow with the tares. But Brother Isaac, the amazing thing is it happened while men slept. So what is God telling us? He's telling us the church has been asleep. Remember back in the day, there was some Pentecostal denominations that if you got saved because you were watching a TV evangelist, they wouldn't even accept you as a convert because they said the TV was the devil. Crazy. Some folk used to tell me Periscope was the devil and Facebook was the devil. And why were you on Facebook and Periscope and why were you on YouTube Live? That's the devil. Well, last I read, the devil can only kill, steal, and destroy. And God has created everything. The problem is the reason why the devil on the internet so much is because the church has been asleep. And that's why more porno on there. And that's why all this crazy stuff is on there. Because the church has not been on the offense. It's been on the defense, sitting back in its by and by, having its cupcake sale, having its big hat show off Sunday, having its, can you look at my Gucci tie fashion show, and not doing anything in the world. Just sitting back and let the devil take over territory. If the church really infiltrated social media like it's supposed to, somebody the Holy Ghost to be, oh, y'all don't hear me. Somebody be shouting right now on Periscope. But it's hard to get a shot out of Periscope because it's so saturated by the devil, because the church don't use the tools that God has created. They let the devil take over TV. They let the devil take over the internet. They let the devil take over the community centers. They let the devil take over the schools. They let the devil take over the government. They let the devil take over the White House. They let the devil take over everything and don't kick in the gates of hell. That's why I get mad about the church. Wake up! Stop sleeping. It happened while men slept. While we sleeping, not that we going to sleep in church, but we sleeping in the spirit, and we're not taking territory from the devil. We sit there and we sit back on the defensive end. I know they said defense wins games and defense wins games, but Peyton Manning will tell you, if defense can play all day, but if you don't score, you ain't going to win. The church is not violent enough. We might be violent with each other, but we not violent enough when it comes to the world. We let the devil have his territory. It happened while men slept. That's ignorant and crazy to tell me that I can't use the tools that God created. In fact, remember this, and I'm going to say this right quick, and I'm going to get ready to sit down. I got a little time. I'm going to read this. I'm going to see how long that is. Let me just read some of this stuff from. Let me just set this up, and I'm going to get ready to sit down. Seriously. I'm trying. The devil will lift you up and allow you to get lifted up. So how many told Jesus, if you just bow down to me, I'll lift you up. And sometimes the devil will raise you, even as a preacher or a minister, the devil can help you get somewhere too. And when you get to the point where you are, you will be scared to offend folk, and you'll preach what it is that's politically correct in your mind and not do what God has called you to do. And then you begin to lose the power, because the problem is we're supposed to be in the world but not of the world. See, the problem is we think that we ain't supposed to be in the world. No, we are supposed to be in the world but not of the world. See, you're supposed to be salt. Salt is everywhere. Salt is in my sweat. Salt is in your mouth. Salt is on your shoe. Salt is on the ground. Salt is everywhere like roaches. Hopefully not in your house, but salt is everywhere. And what salt does, it preserves some things, but it changes the flavor of others. And when you're really a kingdom child, you will be salt. Those things that need to be preserved that are in God's will, because you're present, they will be preserved. And because you're salt, those things that need to be changed will get changed, because you are salt. You a flavor-changing, kingdom-minded person. When you walk in a room, you are the most important thing, because God is in you. Let me tell you one thing. I don't act like it's me, the reason why the police pay for stuff, and the reason why Ferguson and all the people pay for it. It ain't got nothing to do with me. It's the favor of God. When you walk in there and you know God is on the agenda, and you can sit there and say, let me have a word of prayer. I don't pray a long prayer. I just say, Lord, let your will be done. Amen. Brother Devin, no, he be in there with me. Brother Heaven, amen. It's just a short prayer, but I invited Jesus into the room. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You gotta learn how to take over territory from the devil. You ain't gotta go in your job throwing oil on everybody, but you can't get there early in the morning and put some on the doorpost. You don't have to go in there and pray over your boss, but you can't go put some oil in that chair to make sure God has enough. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. You got to learn how to take territory from the devil. You don't have to be all overt. You can be covert. You don't have to say no long prayer, but God wants to take over territory. I'm gonna leave King alone this time. But I'm gonna read it. I keep changing my mind. I'm about kingdom. King writes this, and I'm gonna get ready to sound. But though I was initially disappointed at being categorized as an extremist, as I continued to think about the matter, I gradually gained a measure of satisfaction from the label. Was not Jesus an extremist for love? Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Was not Amos an extremist for justice? Let justice roll down like the mighty waters of righteousness, like the ever-flowing stream. Was Paul not an extremist for Christian gospel? I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was Martin Luther not an extremist? Here I stand, I cannot own otherwise, so help me God. named all these extremists. Who cares when they talk about you? If they're not talking about you, you ain't doing nothing. You know when they talk about your church? Because your church is doing something. The more you sit back and don't do nothing, nobody ain't got nothing to say because you're not doing anything. But I'm going to tell you right now, thank God you got some enemies. If you got some enemies, go buy them a gift card. Go get them a deal or a meal from Shoney's. Go take them to IHOP. Take them out and bless them. You know why? Because the Bible says that he'll bless you, but the only way he'll do it is in the presence of your enemies. So when you got some haters, when you got some enemies, get your napkin together, get your good silverware, break out your best wine and say, Lord, I know you're about to bless me. I don't want to be a church kid. I want to be a kingdom kid. I want to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. I know you my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. I know you my Jehovah Rapha, my healer. I know you my Jehovah Nisi, my victory. I know you my Jehovah Makedes, my sanctifier. I know you my Jehovah Shalom. I ain't worried about nothing that comes against me. You know why? Because no weapon formed against me shall prosper. You know why? Because I'm covered with the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. He said he came to give me life, not to give it to me mediocrely, not to give it to me commonly, not to give me an average life, but he said I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. He came to give me a good measure blessing. Press down, shake it together, and run it over. Don't let nobody tell you can't be lieutenant governor. Don't let nobody tell you can't be president. Don't let nobody tell you can't be a lawyer. Don't let nobody tell you can't be a doctor. You let them know I can't lose with the stuff I use. I'm a kingdom minded soldier, and everything I step on, everywhere I go, I come on.
Yeah, yeah.
I done got too happy. Y'all, this is what y'all got to understand. Colossians says, look up for where you're going. Some of us keep looking down. You keep setting your goals too low. And the reason why God ain't trying to do nothing is because God don't deal with little vision. God don't deal with something you can do on your own. He said, I will do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you can ask, think, or imagine according to the power that works in you. Exceedingly abundantly above. He ain't going to do nothing below you or on your level. You know, and I'm going to sit down for real. You know what people would tell me when I had the vision for the InTouch to bring the police and the sheriff? See, I didn't know the history. I didn't know the police and the sheriff department didn't like each other here. But I don't be caring about history. My church folk will tell you that. I care about the history of the church and where we've come from, but I ain't going to let it be an anchor. And although I found out that the sheriff department and the police didn't get along, I ain't care because I knew the vision God gave me. And people say, ain't no way you're going to be able to bring all these people together, be able to bring the people from the community and the police all together. It ain't going to happen. And I said, well, God going to happen. See, when people start telling me what I can't do, I know it's God then. Because if I could do it, he ain't going to show up. God will always give you something bigger than you. See, you know why you be overwhelmed? Because it's bigger than you. If you running for delegate, God wouldn't even be with you. Not that it's big, you know. No shade on you, my friend. But you know what I'm saying. But sometimes what overwhelms one person doesn't overwhelm the next. To much is given, much is required. The more gifted God. See, you know how some people get jealous? Because they be like, how in the world did this person get this name, get it? They got it because they had already done everything they could do. So God blessed them with it. You getting jealous of somebody that you probably supposed to be having a bigger vision than. God only deals with stuff bigger than you. But if you got a church mind and not a kingdom mind. Now hear me right. I'm not saying don't go to church. But some of us don't believe that the church is in us. We think the church is in pews and still fussing about that now. Holy Ghost ain't in no pews. Some of y'all want y'all same seat every week.
Because you think Jesus is sitting right there. Oh no, I left Jesus in last week. That girl in my chair. You sitting on Jesus. It sounds crazy, but that's how folk think. They think Jesus is in a building. The kingdom is not observation. It's not a place. It's a power that's in you. It's knowing that whatever I do, I'm going to win. Because wherever I go, God is with me. A part of God himself lives in me. The Holy Ghost is God himself living in you. That's why it says, greater is he who was in me than he who was in the world. Because Jesus lives in you. The power of Jesus is in you. But the only way it's ignited is when you tap into it. And you begin to do what God has asked you to do. He ain't going to do it for you. See, you keep waiting on God. God said, you know what God told Jesus to do? He commanded him to sit down. You know why he commanded Jesus to sit down? Because he knew he'd get up for your lazy behind when you ain't do nothing. He said, commanded, sit down, Jesus. Why? Because every time you get in trouble, Jesus want to get up. Sit down. They got the Holy Ghost. They need to know they're more than a conqueror. You know, one thing I don't want to do. Now, I do want to go to heaven. But I don't want to go there. And he don't say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't want to go there and he tell me all the things I could have done for him that I didn't do because I was dependent on myself. So whenever somebody tell you what you can't do, you tell them, I know I can't do it, but God got me. Huh? I can't. Kingdom-minded people, kingdom-minded soldiers understand that they can't do nothing. It's only by the grace of God. God does it. People say, how does the church grow even in time when other churches are dying? God did it. You know what? I'm smart enough to know I'm stupid. Yeah. I'm smart enough to know I'm stupid. I'm smart enough to know I don't know nothing God knows. I'm smart enough to know that no matter what I think I know, God know more. So when God, I mean, we had a conversation with my brother. We had a conversation and we were talking, me and Deacon Woody, and he was saying, man, a lot of times I'd be like, man, you be doing stuff going against the grain a lot. And I'd be like, man, why he doing it? And I'd be like, man, ain't nothing but God. And I'm like, yeah, because I'm dumb enough, I'm smart enough to know I'm dumb, and whatever God tell me to do, I just do it. I know I don't know. I don't try to figure it out. I just let God lead me. Now, I'm not saying I do it right every time, but when I know he leading me, I follow him, because you're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. Let me tell you why. You walk by faith and not by sight because the devil can only play with your mind and your thoughts. You feel me? He only can play with your mind. He's the little g god of this world, the order, the arrangement of things, the systems, the cosmos, the cosmetology. He can always set up circumstances to make you think you're not going to make it. So if you go by your sight and your thoughts, he can play with your mind. But when you walk by faith, you don't even know why you're doing it yourself. So how can he play with your thoughts? You can't play with your thoughts when you walk by faith, because you know it's not your thoughts, and you lean it not on your what? Own understanding. Because some things I do in a church conference, some things I do in a board meeting, some things I do, I'm like, Lord Jesus, I don't know how you're going to work that out, but I ain't going to think about it. I'm just going to walk by faith and let God work it out. What in your life that you keep having a church mentality instead of a kingdom mentality? What is it that God has promised you that you're scared to step forth and take over because you keep thinking with your own little feeble mind and not walking by faith? Kingdom-minded people to serve the community. Kingdom-minded people don't worry about
the status quo. Kingdom-minded people don't worry about what other church folk talking about them. Kingdom-minded people don't worry about what other pastors talk about them. Kingdom-minded people don't care if people call them an Uncle Tom because they are volunteer police chaplain. Kingdom-minded people don't care about people talking about you because you're trying to bridge the gap between the police, trying to say you helping folk that's killing you. Kingdom-minded folk don't care about the opinions of nobody but God. When you really... Oh, I feel special. You clapping for me. When you really get to the point where you understand that God is the author and finisher of your faith, you won't worry about nobody else's opinion. Your life, just like the WWF, is fixed. They already know who's going to win when they walk in the door. You already won. You just got to show up, play your role. It's already over. It's a fixed fight. Whatever hell you're going through right now, hell loses. Just know that. You might lose some battles, but you won't lose the war. You might be battered and bruised. You might get some of your teeth knocked out, but you're going to win. Winning don't mean you don't have scars and bruises. Winning just means you showed up and you stayed there and stood there and let God show out. Are you going to have a kingdom mind? Are you going to keep having a church mind? Are you going to be loyal to buildings and chairs and pews? Are you going to be loyal to visions of what God has called you to do? Are you worried about what your friends and family say about you? Or are you going to serve God in the capacity in which he called you to serve? So what? They don't believe you called to do something. Do it anyway. Do it anyway.